It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time on RBN Network from beautiful Freedoms Phoenix Studios here in Phoenix, Arizona. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. Today we're talking about the power of love on my 25th wedding anniversary. Oh, that's your silver anniversary, which reminds me of... You can show Freedoms Phoenix some love. We used to have a silver bomb going on now. See, a lot of people... We've been doing... Freedoms Phoenix for, I don't know, 5 years, I think. And what happened is been we have been very, philanthropic. There's a few people that have been very, you know, supportive of this, and a lot of us working very hard, a lot of volunteers. You know, very few people get paid. I have the senior editor and a webmaster and me, and we cover our costs, and that's it. And they, not even that. You know, we're subsidized by some benefactors that want to make sure that we keep doing, you know, some advertisers here, and they want to, you know, they get to support it and write it off, and we have some other people that, you know the power of what we do and the power of love. But, you know, it's time. We've been really carrying this for a long time, but we never did, you know, all these money bombs and so on. We're mainly because we're busy. But it's just giving us money and you don't get anything in return. It just didn't seem right, even though you get a lot out of Freedoms Phoenix. I mean, it's very popular. Yeah, we up to, you know, like 14,000 page loads a day now. I mean, it's just it's amazing. We have almost 9,000 on our email dispatch that we send out twice a day. So it's really, really being effective. But it's more than that. We didn't go for the Oprah stories. You know, we didn't have, you know, Britney Spears' new belly button ring and any of that stuff. What we focused on was real hard, good, you need to know it news to people that it was effective information for them to use and share and show some love to their neighbors and friends and family. And what we wanted to do is have a quality of people that understood the issues, people that were there, you know, so that they could plan for their future. So those, you know, 15,000 in our database, you know, these are the cream of the crop. Now, this is the Lovelution, and we wanted to make sure that they got the information and an opportunity to participate. So we haven't really made – I don't think we've ever made – we've done chip-ins for various different projects and so on, or people in jail that need help and stuff like that. But we never did anything for Freedoms Phoenix until now. But I didn't want to do it until we had something that we could give you back. So we have now – we minted up Freedoms Phoenix 1 ounce silver medallions. So if you go to the front page of Freedoms Phoenix on the top right navigation bar, you'll see red there. It says, you know, Silver Bomb. And you click in that, and you can see how you can donate. But if you donate money, you know, you're going to, depending on how much you donate, as a premium, as a gift, because I love you so much, you get a certain number of medallions. Because I wanted to make sure you got something. And, you know, the thing is, silver's going to explode so much here soon, you're going to be making money donating to us anyway. So it's all good. So I just want to make sure you know that you can show us some love. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the power of love and how you can make use of the material that we provide and share it with people, not to beat them over the head, tell them how wrong they are. It's to show them the power of love. Of a voluntary society, of a society that doesn't steal. Don't advocate the theft, even if it's your great idea.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. On the board, Jet Lacy, and at the network, Carrie. Carrie, when you call in at 800-313-9443, you get Carrie. Say hello, Carrie. Now, what we're doing today is we want to talk, because it's my 25th wedding anniversary, and I wanted to talk about the power of love. You want to know what motivates us when you have an activist, someone that's a freedom activist, and you probably know quite a few, longevity is really, that's the secret. Because when you get involved in this stuff and you're really in opposition to someone's bad stuff that they're doing. I mean, you build up an animosity, a hate, your negative thoughts, always with the negative waves. And that has much more to do with the impact it has on you than it does them. You think that, it's a motivation. It just, they want to bring you in to this, but it really doesn't do you a lot of good. And it doesn't really do them that much harm. And hold on a second. So want to make sure that you understand. There's a cut. I want Jet to get ready on there. But one thing that I want to make sure, they bring me back in. And what I wanted to do is make sure that you understood that there's going to be a big, giant damage to yourself if you continue down this road. If we emphasize too much on the bad and the evil that they're doing, then you're not going to be able to be a good example to others. And I'll give you a good example. Yesterday, Jet put up a piece where John Stewart was talking to some pro-democracy think tank. We're going to go spread democracy around the world with our M1 tank and whether you like it or not guy. And he gets on, and he's a good guest. I mean, he's sparring with John Stewart. Well, he's going, yeah, but what about? And the thing that he was saying, since 2003, we've only waterboarded and tortured three guys, just three. And we did it in a certain way that just three. And we did it with a doctor standing there, and it was all clinical, and they had white smocks on and everything, and all this kind of stuff. And what happens is that John Stewart, let him go on. He made his case, the best that you can make for these kinds of things, and he made a really good point. It's not about them. It's about what it does to us. How are we benefited? I know you can put into the big giant people are going to die, and but they don't put the emphasis on how much bad is done and how much good is not allowed when you embrace the idea of torturing people. It does more that hate. Because that is, man, you talk about negative waves as you're sitting there torturing someone and in the name of a country with an agency that represents on the tip of the spear what our policy really comes down. When we get pushed to the wall, when we're really tested, we're going to yank some fingernails. And we're going to drown you. It's more about what it does to us. If you're advocating for waterboarding, for torturing, to get you, you're missing the point, the power of love. The first thing is stop making people mad. Stop getting them in a position that they want to do you harm. Stop socially and economically engineering countries across the planet. We sure as heck don't like it here. I give you the healthcare thing coming on right now, and that's just healthcare. That's just another bucket of money they want to create. What happens when you think you got M16s out in front of your house on the corner of your street, and you got military garb from another country? What the heck did you think you were going to propagate? What did you think was going to be the result of that? What did you think? It reminds me of I'm a Tom and Jerry fan when I was a kid. I loved the cartoons, and because of the violence. They bring me the very best violence. lots of anvils. But what happened, there was one that I remember that it was rare. I think it was a one or two episodes where they actually spoke any words. And I remember Tom had Jerry there, and he swung a frying pan or whatever at him, and Jerry ducked. And then all of a sudden, the action stops, and Tom says, "You deliberately ducked." I mean, wow, what a concept. You're not allowed to duck. We're military industrial kick-your-butt America. America, 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 and you're not allowed to fight back. You're not allowed to resist. You're not allowed to be a grandma, you know, walking down the street and a cop's just being dumb and you know it and you say no because you get tasered. When the tasers started coming out, I remember when they first started being an issue here in Arizona, there was a protest in the West Valley, and Sheriff Arpaio's deputies were out there, and it was a town hall meeting on they were going to put in some kind of waste treatment thing, and the neighbors didn't want it or whatever, and they're going to keep control. The people that were complaining, this is on video, in the news at the time, it just regular housewives and so on, they weren't, what happens, you fill out these cards, and then they'd have their lobbyists speak in favor of it, and they wouldn't call on anybody that wanted to speak against it. And this happens all the time. Any of you that's been involved in this stuff, you know how this goes. And they're like, "Hey, hey, we want it." Immediately, the deputies were ready. They had these hand tasers, put them in their neck and throat. And when you do that, a lot of times you instinctively automatically vomit. I mean, you just, bleh, you know, it just gets a contraction and you just spew all over. And these people, you know, elderly women and so on, being tased in the neck. I'm like, wow. What'd you think was going to happen? They're cattle prods for people. You will comply. Well, you're lucky we didn't shoot you. Really? Okay. Now, don't shoot me, bro. I got batteries for your taser. As if that was, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny until, you know, you're just cattle. So how do you oppose that? What do you do? I want this audience to start to understand the power that we've been able to accomplish over the years here in Arizona, in Phoenix. What we have accomplished, and we set as an example. A lot of times, why do you always talk about Arizona? Well, that's what I know. And it's not like we don't have a lot to talk about because, I mean, heck, we got the head of the Gestapo was our governor. We got, you know, John McCain ran for president out of here. You know, Senator Kyle, man, he's, you know, got his own problems. John Shattuck was the one that brought back the bailout as a Republican. It's national socialization of the economy isn't fascist when I do it, John S.S. Shattuck. You know, so, I mean, you know, there, we got plenty. We got Arpaio. You know, there's, you know, a lot of interesting things that go on that you don't hear about in the media there. You know, there's the ex-DEA guy that, you know, man, it's very interesting behind-the-scenes stuff here. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, we have been bred from that, from this kind of action and this oppression on individual rights to express themselves and to seek voluntary solutions. We in Arizona, the result has been that per capita, we have a bigger debt than even California. We are in worse shape than any other state in the nation. A lot of people don't know that. They look at California because it's like the sixth largest economy in the world, you know, but per person, the debt on a state level, Arizona got you whipped, man. How did that happen? And what was the result? The result is an equal and opposite reaction from people going, no. So what do you do? How do you oppose it? Do you fight force with force, you know, evil with evil, hate with hate? Do you engage them? Or do you ignore them and you appeal to people's good side? You reward good behavior. You emphasize those that are fighting for freedom. You emphasize those that want to help and are prevented by government. You want to emphasize those that just want to be left alone and won't be left alone. You know, by doing that, you always keep the moral high ground. When you start focusing on the win is how many votes that you're accredited by a government-controlled private industry, we got the secret program, you can't look at it, voting computer. You know, if that's your criteria, well, you're going to lose. We haven't focused on that here. We run for office all the time. I'll probably run again. You know, we'll do something. We'll be creative. We'll have fun. We'll put up a bunch of signs. We have our own video studio, radio studio. We have our own printing press, folders, cutters. Just opened up silk screening. 4409 is going to town on that. You know, we emphasize, and we have you know, this Joker thing with Obama. People, man, they don't like this you know, black guy in white face or something. I don't know what the deal is. They're coming up all kinds of reasons that this is a bad thing, but I'm telling you, it's starting to take off because, you know, you got this big giant, you know, psychotic thief. I mean, I don't know what else you want to call him. You know, he doesn't have any love for us. And any love that they demonstrate for us, it's at the expense of someone else. Socialism is hate. It's hate of someone that has. You got to take away from, you know, any of those that have earned anything for themselves and redistribute it. What are you advocating? Are you advocating your version of theft for your benefit? Now, I understand a lot of you that are on, you know, dependent on various government programs that they promised you over the decades, you know, Social Security and the various disabilities and Medicaid, Medicare, and they took your money. That was the deal. We're going to take this money, and then later we're going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. And then it kept going up and going up and going up. And it was so obvious to us, you know, as we become – I had a restaurant. And you do paychecks, and you start, you know, things you find out when you open your own business. I started right after we had our fourth child, we started our own business, and before we did the restaurant. And I started to find out when I'm filling out the tax forms and everything that not only do I pay Social Security, I got to pay the employer's part of Social Security. It's double Social Security I have to pay as a sole proprietor. I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I started to figure it out. And I'm thinking, I'm going, how much out in the heat? You know, it was, it was called Motivity Services. We detailed automobiles, and we had a mobile laundry service, and, you know, lawn service. We were just adding on all the kinds of different services and until I got burned. It's a long story. But what happened was I'm going, I'm working for somebody else. I'm working for the man. Who's out there in the sun sweating? It really opened my eyes, but I chose the path of love. We'll talk about it more when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
You are the sunshine of my life. That's why I'll always stay around. Yeah, yeah. You are the apple of my eye.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, from Phoenix, Arizona, on my 25th silver anniversary with my lovely wife, Donna. And, you know, that's why I always stay around, because she's the woman. Now, the thing is that, you know, the people want you to stay around. Why would they? How much love have you shown others? You know, if you're close to the edge now, and we haven't even got to the real estate collapse yet with commercial real estate. Commercial real estate, when it goes, man, you know, whatever you were able to hang on to the edge, you know, after the last year or so, well, if you're near the edge, you're in a whole nother ball game. Here it comes. The greatest depression is coming. It's already happened. What kind of love have you shared that people are going to show you some love? Have you helped others in need? Have you done your best? Have you? I mean, it's not about, you know, I'm a tough love kind of guy. If you're being stupid and doing stuff, and, you know, I'm not rewarding bad behavior. I'm not just, you know, giving you, I expect things in return. I mean, that's, you know, I don't want to be an enabler. I'm not going to be dependent, but I'm not going to, you know, punish good behavior. People that do the right thing, things that people that work. Jet comes in here every day to do this show out of love. He doesn't get paid for this. So what do? We offer all this facility and everything and encourage him to do his show. He's working on it, man. He's all, every day. He's down here building it up. It's going to be cool. And we all want to help. We're all looking forward to it. He's a real creative guy. But I'm telling you, what have you done? What's the investment you've made in? It's more than just yourself and making sure you're healthy and you eat right. You know, I think America's really starting to take that seriously, and you're starting to realize you're being poisoned. You know, I mean, it's all about how you can feed the peasants really cheap. You know, we're just going to mass produce and subsidize corn. You know, I'm just wow, seriously? I mean, how much do we got to subsidize every freaking thing? Oh my goodness! But the thing is that now we're starting to realize, you know, we could survive much better on a lot fewer calories. I mean, we can we're learning that. They don't want you to, though. because there's something that keeps us. And we were talking yesterday, they brought it up, and I didn't get to emphasize on it enough. There was a I was watching television, and something happened with the signal on the satellite. And behind it, you could see it just started this pulsing, this white kind of snowy screen, and it's a certain frequency. And all of a sudden, it kind of dazed me, and I started to feel a headache come. I'm like, whoa, what the heck was that? And it reminded me in some books I've read, you know, just Tom Clancy stuff and different things, that the military right now uses light waves to disorient people. You have a laser that gives a certain frequency in a flash. It goes through the optic nerve, and it shuts down your brain. You know, fighter pilots, they get hit with this thing, boom, they just auger in, die, you know, crash, they're blacked out, whatever. I mean, you know, disorients troops on the ground, and they have this. It's you do certain electromagnetic frequencies that go through the optic nerve, boom, shuts down your brain, does something to it. If they have that capacity, you know, what kind of stuff are they programming? That's why they call it programming. You're being programmed. So if you're watching television, they're going to come up with some kind of filter. I put over my screen. You know, I'm not programmed anymore. So this is as I really knew things were changing. '04, when the reports started coming back that kids were seeing, watching their computers, spending time on their computers more than they were for the first time than television. Has that had an impact? Yeah, it has. In these kind of conspiracy things, you only got to ask yourself one question. Can they do it? I don't even know. They go, oh, you think they would do that? Of course they would. I just need to know if they can. What, you think there's some moral hurdle they got to get over? Oh, that, you know, influencing young minds through television, probably that would be bad. We shouldn't do that. That would be wrong. Please. So, you need to take care of yourself. And then you need to, you know, look to your loved ones, your family, your close ones right now. This is a not later thing. And start showing some love. Show some concern. You know, at least ask them. You know, you have a little bit of extra money. I mean, you need to be buying food. You need to make sure that, you know, because a lot of times it's like, you know, when the bear's chasing you, you don't have to outrun the bear. You just have to outrun the guys around you. You know, I don't have to outrun. You're never going to outrun that bear. I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you, you know. Because what happens is if you can survive, you know, a couple of months longer than everybody else, then you win. You know, let the other them all fight it out and duke it out and so on. But what happens is, you know, that's what all this roadblock stuff. That's why we emphasize this roadblock stuff so much. What happens when it starts to go and you want to leave? You go to my old archive. You go to ErnestHancock.com/archive. I have my old archives there. And they're on Freedom's Phoenix somewhere too, but I don't know how to find them. So you go to ErnestHancock.com/archive and you look up Homeland Security as one of the subjects. And I had the representative, Frank Navarette. You put that in, Frank Navarette and Ernest Hancock in a Google search, and it'll come up. He's the Homeland Defense Representative of Arizona at the time when Janet Napolitano was governor. And we had a nice conversation. And it came down to, even back then, they're doing orange alert. We're going orange alert, red alert. Oh, lots of alerts. And he's on my show saying, oh, we got this thing. We know in Florida there's some whatever in Miami. You go, we're going to go to orange alert. I'm going, why in Arizona? What do I give a rip? What happens in, you know, Maine? Is Oregon really got to go to red alert? Why? It's all about control. When you have the time that you want to leave, they're going to shut down and do the little roadblock thing. You know, it'll be too late. Get ready. Help your friends and neighbors get ready. Show some love. It's the only way we're going to survive this thing long enough so that we don't have to go to government to save us. We're going to have to save ourselves. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
I guess you say, what can make me feel this way? My girl, my girl, my girl. Talking about my girl, my girl.
So much love for my lovely wife, Donna. And I want to share with that with you and how big of an influence that's had on me to just want to be, you know, just want to be left alone and share my life with my family. I love spending time with my family. But if you know what the future is, you're always being pulled back in.
Just when I thought I was out, They pull me back in.
Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. I had my restaurant thinking I was going to focus on building for years on the restaurant. Boy, that was a mistake, man. You want some government interference, man. Open a restaurant. I was like, oh, it was driving me freaking crazy. And I would take advantage, just for my mental health, I would take my activism skills and I'd make fun of, you know, a lot of stuff that they would do and, you know, emphasize it and such. And then right after that's when I went on the radio. Because there was a lot of people that were supportive of me being able to share these the stories of a lot of things that we've done. But I'll tell you what they were more supportive of than anything else is that I had a positive attitude, that I believed in humanity, that the good of human beings is what has sustained us. We have evolved from brutish individuals into, you know, I don't know if we're ever going to become, you know, reasoning enlightened Vulcans or something like that, you know, or we want to. But, you know, the thing is that we have been able to check our emotions and our fears and been able to evolve into the creativity and imagination of things that is so much to come. You know, and I just want to make sure that you see the future is so much better off than a lot of people would realize.
You know, I just wanted to say a couple words today that I'm pretty new to this this movement here. And, you know, I've only known Ernie and Donna for about 8 months now, but we're sort of spent a lot of time together since then. I've jumped in with both feet. And, you know, as much love as they show each other, you know, they show their fellow man as well. And they've shown me a lot of love, having not known me for very long. And part of the reason why, you know, along with I have a very loving relationship with my wife. I think she's a very, very special person. You know, otherwise, I would have went galt a long time ago. I would have been out of here. But, you know, that's not what my wife is about. So I'm staying here to try to make this world a better place, because that's where, you know, I've laid down my roots, and Ernie and Donna have really, really helped me, you know, find that balance.
Hey, it's my pleasure, man. And you're a good guy. This, you know, when we first met Jet, you know, we started opening the workshop. He lives very close by, so it's convenient for him to come by. And you went to a meetup or something, right? What was it? How'd you first come around?
Yeah, I joined the Ron Paul meetup group. I didn't realize that it was the first one in the country.
And what happened was, you know, Jet's very enthusiastic. I mean, he just really wanted to spend a lot of time doing this. And we always see those guys. They're usually informants. And we're going, they go, he goes, I'm not an informant. I go, yeah, but we don't care. We got weights to be put in the attic. You know, we don't care. You know, yeah, get your butt in there and go do some work. As you're doing work, and as time goes on, you get to know him and you don't worry about it. But he was all upset, worried about it. We thought he might be an informant. We're saying, you don't understand, Jet. We don't care. Yeah. It just doesn't matter. But, you know, the thing is that it's rare that you have someone that's so enthusiastic so early on that wants to do a lot. But you have circumstances that create that environment. You know, a lot of times people are searching. I've been searching. And you find, and all of a sudden you're evangelical. You're like, yeehaw, I want to do that. And Jet is so talented that he works so hard. He came up with the Kokesh, Coca-Cola Kokesh logo that we went to Santa Fe. It was a big hit nationally. I mean, that, you know, it's just the creativity of these kinds of things. Everybody, if they have the opportunity to express it, and you give them an outlet and a support and encouragement, they do. And Jeff's been a great example of that, and he's been an inspiration to a lot of people here who want to help him with his show, and they're doing a lot of work there. Now, the thing that I also wanted to emphasize is that there is a lot of activity that we've done. I can go list, you know, I can't think of even when I had the restaurant, 3 months that went by, we didn't have some big whatever thing that we were doing. But what was it? I mean, were we emphasizing how bad they are? No, we're emphasizing the harm that they did to individuals that were just want to be left alone. You know, we have another one that's coming up. We'll be talking about it in the future here, near future. And bottom line, it's a 56-year-old man that medical marijuana takes care of himself. He has back problems and so on. He's retired. He's paid for his home. He doesn't have any expenses. He's not dependent on anybody. And all of a sudden, you know, his window was open and a police officer, you know, I think I smell an arrest, you know, goes in, you know, knocks on the door. And if he'd known better, he just wouldn't even gone to the door. door or bite me or I'm not going to answer any questions. Or, you know, we know you've been smoking marijuana. We know who is it. You. Yeah, you know. Boom, done. Take him down, arrest him. He's back home within an hour and a half. Nothing happens. 16 months later, he gets summoned. You're being charged with two class six felonies. And what do you do? What's the hook? Did he get beaten? No. Did he get, you know, he cooperated. He admitted, you know, did they lie or, you know, they got tricked him. I mean, probably because he was stoned, you know, has a lot to do with it. But what happened was, is that, you know, we're like, what's the hook on this thing? And what it really comes down to is that you're next. You're sitting in your house, not bothering anybody. You're next. Now, if they can do that, just, you know, we know you're doing something in there and you're next. We got against the law, lawbreaker. Now, we don't care about your medical needs. We don't care about your injury. We don't care. You're next. So we're gonna have some fun with this. I mean, we're going to emphasize this. You're next. Regardless of what your views are on the drug war here, it's just an excuse to be able to come knocking on your front door.
That was one of the first things I realized when something was really wrong, that it doesn't pay to tell the government the truth. You know, they're going to...
They lie.
They're going to use it against you. But I'm not worried about them. I'm talking about where I'm coming from. And I like to tell the truth. And I like to be honest with people. But it's not going to pay to tell your local police officer the truth as to what's going on.
Yeah, and that's one thing that Mark Victor, my friend, he's a criminal defense attorney. His thing is, you don't talk to cops. Period. You know, you smile and say, you know, I'm not comfortable answering these questions. I don't have to tell you where I'm coming from, where I'm going, what I drank, what I ate. I don't talk to cops. And is it? It's being disrespectful, and we're not that way. I mean, we want to be respectful of people that are in a position to love us, to help us, but they're conditioned not to anymore. It's we're the enemy of what? What is it they're protecting? The law. Well, what's the law? Is it just? Is it with love? Is it to protect us, you know, from the aggressions of others? It's like a revenue source. So if we have this battle that goes on, and we're getting near the end of this, we're done with the beginning of it, I can guarantee you that. As we get engaged more and more in this, as the economy is going to go, and it's going to go. The reason I emphasize this on my 25th anniversary is that I want to encourage you not to go into violence. Now, there will be a time. I remember the movie with Patrick Swayze, Roadhouse, and there was a time and he's a bouncer in these clubs and so on. There was a line in there, and he goes, you be nice. They do this, you be nice. They spit in your face, you be nice. You be nice until it's time not to be nice. When's it time not to be nice? Well, that's for each individual to decide. It's not a collective decision. But there's, you know, it's getting to the point to where, you know, it's resist or go on the cattle car. I mean, when does that happen? You have NORTHCOM created. You have the military brigades coming from Fallujah to here into America. They're going to do forced vaccinations. Here in Arizona, they said, you know, we're not going to force require vaccinations for our school children here. We decided not. Why? Because they knew what happened here, that's why. But the thing is, I mean, we're making signs right now. Vaccines equal poison with a skull. 4409 is doing that right now. We're starting to make these signs. Why? Because we love our neighbors. We just want them to, you know, they're not alone. No matter how many people, no matter what the majority, no matter how much they emphasize it on the boob tube, how much you got to submit to a government needle and elixir to be pumped in under your skin. That government's invading your skin. Where is your freedom begin, start? I mean, a lot of people say what their personal space is, but I tell you where my personal space is, freaking in my skin. I'll guarantee you that. If it's not that, then what the heck? That's why as freedom-oriented individuals, when I put my hand on your shoulder and I say, whose life is this? You know, it's yours. Or you're at least the steward of this gift of life from God. You are the one that signs the contracts. You're the one that does the time. You're the one that's responsible. And for somebody else to claim sovereignty over your body and force a needle in you and put God knows what in it, you're just begging for trouble. I mean, just a concept. So, how do you counter that? You know, I want to emphasize that you use love. Love is powerful. Love is, and on my 25th wedding anniversary, you know, there's one thing I want to do. There was a project that we did as young men in Bible study in oh, the mid 90s, 92, 3, around in there. And they said, yeah, you should go do something nice for your wife. And when, it didn't take me much time. And the deadline came up, man. It was like a Tuesday or Saturday right before we had to go to church next day. And, you know, what did we do, man? I'm running down the Kinko's, getting on the computer, doing PageMaker and making up a nice thing. And it didn't take a half hour for me to do this and write this to emphasize, on my 25th wedding anniversary, I want to read, this is 15 years old that I wrote this back then. And you have to understand that I chose my wife. It was a different kind of love other than just this passionate. I love my wife. She's a beautiful woman. But I was so new I was making the right decision. How beneficial is it to know that not only do you love a person, but you know you're making the best, the greatest lifelong decision? That logic and reason has emphasized and supported a feeling of the heart. How when you were looking for someone just like that to be the mother of your children? Because from the beginning, we made the decision we wanted to have two boys and two girls, because she was the there are three in her family and three in my family. I was the only boy and she was the only girl. And we're like, man, you know, we wish we had, you know, she wish she had a sister, and I wish I had a brother. So we're like, you know, we're gonna do this two and two thing if we can get away with it, at least two and two. And if we have to have more kids to get it, we'll do that, because we both understood, you know, that the benefit of having the same sex sibling. So I go, we're gonna do that, and I wanted to make sure that we had a relationship that our whole goal was to raise great kids. Because they're a conduit to great grandkids. We want to add this grandkid thing. I'm getting my first grandkid probably this week, and I am just I'm so satisfied. I mean, if I go out now, the man takes me out now, I raise my kids. I'm good. Yeah, thank you, Jet. And my thing is that I have been so blessed by having this ability to share with other people, but I have to keep reminding myself, not everybody's as lucky as I am. They don't have someone as lovely in spirit and mind and body as my wife to snuggle up with every day. They don't have this calming influence on their life. They don't have this other perspective, this other radar screen to give you. Because this one, let me tell you what I learned after 25 years of marriage. Women are different than men. Get used to that. I don't care what they're trying to homogenize us into, this, you know, androgynous one sex thing kind of equal. No, we're not equal. You know, we're different. And what happens is that, you know, of course, equal under law and all this other stuff, but that's not even my point. My point is we are different. Embrace the difference. If you have a perspective that's 90 degrees of a circle that you're looking at, and you add a wife to it and you get 180 or 100, you get more of a perspective on that. Embrace that difference. You know, it's because of my wife that there are certain things that I do and things and actions that I would have done that she talked me out of. No, I wouldn't know. And I'm like, well, you know, and she's had big influence on me. And when they say behind every great man is a great woman, well, no duh. You know, I don't even know there's great men that didn't have a great woman there, because they're teams. You know, it just, history always picks one person. And as the revolution really got underway, all of a sudden they started to understand just how much of a role my wife played. You know, I started having, I said, you need to go on these trips with me. You know, these people, you're the one that they're in contact. You're the one sending them stuff. You're the one that's supplying them with different. You're the one, you know, they really need to get to know you. I mean, if something happens to me, they need to know that you're here, you know, pick it up. You know, and our kids, they're starting to come on board. You know, think about it. You know, you're never a prophet in your own land. But as time goes on and they start getting into the real world, all of a sudden, you know, I start finding some Freedom's Phoenix silver coins getting bought by my kids to take them to work so they can show their friends. And they start emphasizing and spreading some of the information and business cards and packages of the Love Illusion, little bags that we have. And they're doing, hey, you got any more of those DVDs, Dad? I go, aha, I knew you were taking them, you know. So they never admit it then until they wanted them. But the point is that, you know, if you just have this attitude of support for other people's activities and love, it comes back. You have a much better life. And this healthcare thing, they want you to get all worked up. And you're going to get worked up and they're going to split it into, this is their plan and this is our plan. There's two sides, when really there's not. I guarantee you one thing. They're going to create a bucket of money, one of the biggest buckets they've ever created on the promise of health care. This has been an effort for years. For years. This whole show, if I can emphasize nothing else, it is to frame this healthcare debate into what it really is. If you have a love of yourself to take care of yourself, a love of your neighbor, if you can just share the content, let me tell you what the biggest healthcare project there's going to be. It's going to be a job. That's what it's going to be. And when that's gone, what's a job for? It's to feed yourself and shelter yourself and clothe yourself. You know, you're going to have to start, you know, there's going to be multi-generational families again, without a doubt. There's going to be multiple families that will start living together. In fact, they have, you got Match.com now, you know, for relationships. They have, you look for multi-family housing that people are moving families together so they can afford to survive and live in a home. This is happening right now on the internet. It's a necessity. There's going to be some love there. There'll probably be some friction too, but do we have a choice? I want you to start thinking about what you can do for something. It'll improve your life. You'll meet other people that think in terms of love, and you'll have better relationships. You have better friends. You'll enjoy your life more. And I tell you one thing to help you with the decision. You don't have a choice. So many of you do not. And some of you that have more than others, it's for your benefit that you offer what you can. It's for you. You'll benefit. Benefits and more. We'll talk about declaring your independence and sharing it with others a little more in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I am an old woman named after my mother. My old man is another child that's grown old. If dreams were thunder, lightning was desire, this old house would have burned down a long time ago.
Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and all my friends. We've done it. It's real simple. We just show ourselves some love, and first thing you got to do is not be dependent. And then you can share your love with others. And on my 25th wedding anniversary, I wanted to pay homage to my wife and share with my grandchildren that may listen to this in decades to come of how much we love them before they were even born. How much we use love as a guiding star for us to be able to deserve the freedom that we desire. You know, this love illusion was already in our minds 2 decades ago. It just came to a fruition where we were able to share it with a country, a planet, and the love illusion. I'm going to read a poem I wrote about 15 years ago, my wife. My wife, my life. Young and with no limits to my dreams, I took advantage of every falling star. I wished and prayed for the same thing every time. The Lord had peace and security planned for me, and it wasn't very far. All I needed to remind me was a flash from heaven, it would seem, for me to take to my knees and ask again for my dream. The Lord did hear my prayer, and my wish was granted, a better half to make me whole, with advantage to me more than slightly slanted. A wife that cooks for us even when she's tired. Even if we were not married, she never could be fired. A maid, a chauffeur, a coach, and a lover. A gardener I love to watch work. A bed warmer undercover. A mother, mom, or mommy, depending on how bad we're sick. And even when she's hot and sweaty, her earlobes I like to lick. When she's done all she can and falls on the bed in one big heap, she still makes the effort, just so I can sleep. The morning greets me with most duties done. The kids are fed and off to school. All that's left is work that's fun. At first I fooled them and they would praise me, but everyone now knows it was she that had to dress me. We have many friends and often talk late while our children slumber, but without my wife, they just might lose my number. all I've done or will ever do of merit. All need to know that it's her that deserves the credit. And any time I act as though she causes me strife, know this, my wife is my life. This love has been a sustaining factor for all that we've done for the past 20 years. I want to share this with you so that you understand the power of love. The hate that they want you to have, the fear that they try to instill, the us versus them mindset that they try to put you in is a distraction. It serves their purpose. You need to make sure that first, you got to love yourself. You got to take care of yourself. You got to make yourself able, capable of loving others. Because love is a verb. It's an action. If you don't think you love your family or your wife enough, it means you're not loving them enough. Go love someone. It'll do you good.